B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, final hour, Felger Mass here from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. It is a reentry Monday, brought to you by our friends at East Boston Savings Bank. Connor in Clinton on the Antonio Brown thing. Go ahead, Connor. Connor! Is that the second time I went to the guy and he wasn't there? Steve in the car, quickly.
Guys, I'm not defending Bill Belichick at all, but as far as Cam is concerned, he was unbelievable in the first four games of the season. Mm. I mean, it would have been 4-0 with the exception of two plays.
Mm.
And he came down with COVID.
Mm. Okay, so this one I'll give you.
What? The long-term effects of COVID, as far as even the short-term effects, fatigue, fogginess, this, that, you know, there were things that they don't know about it. So he's two different people.
Okay, so I brought that up before. I'll leave that on the table, just briefly.
He sucked against the Raiders.
I know,
in
it's
a win
true.
Before he had the positive diagnosis.
But he's not running as much.
Agreed.
And I wonder if that's what that is. And, you know, I used to see this in Carolina, so I don't know how much stock to put into the COVID thing, but I did see him sucking wind in the huddle again last night. Maybe that explains the running thing, Murray, is all I'm talking about.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that, because the lung capacity can be affected, obviously, right?
And again, the vegans and the immune system and injury recovery, like, there's stuff out there on that. I wonder if that affects him or not. Both he and the team one of the big takeaways yesterday, the quarterback play was atrocious and the offense is a joke and all of this, but another thing that really stood out to me is how they just got tanked on defense and got run over on defense and just absolutely got taken to them. They got literally run over. The way the Niners were finishing these runs and just abusing the Patriots tacklers and how much more physical the Niners were. I just feel like night and day from what they were the first month of the season. Newton wasn't great the first month of the season, but the first month of the season, the team was representative. They played hard. They competed. The games they lost, they fought to the end. They were well-coached, really good game plan in Kansas City. They went toe-to-toe with the Seahawks in Seattle. They, out-coached Miami in week one and, just got away with it against the Raiders in week four. But after 4 weeks, wouldn't you say the Pats were still the Pats?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Right? I mean, that was still, the players were playing hard. They were fighting to the end. They were winning the games they should win. The coaching was there. It was all there.
Opponents puking on themselves.
It all looked right.
Yeah.
It really did. And then COVID hit, and now they can't get out of their own way. So something happened along the way there, whether it's COVID itself or something happened with the quarterback in that time where the team lost confidence in him. Bill and Newton have somewhere in the last 2-3 weeks lost the rest of the team.
I wonder if, because remember, there was other guys that were wavering about opting out, right? The McCourties, for one, both of them, Matthew Slater. I wonder if some of these guys aren't giving as much because they're like, what are we even doing here?
I wouldn't rule that out. Yeah. I mean, you talked about this in the bubbles, the give in factor. It starts to go bad and you say it's not going to happen this year anyway, and so you give in. Maybe that's what's going on. And I think Newton is directly tied to that. I think the quarterback thing is directly tied to it. Because you see a drop in quarterback play, and you've already missed a game. You lost your bye week. Like, you sit there and this is not going to happen. And the other thing, any team with a half-decent coach and game plan is going to come in on the Patriots and say, we're going to run them over because they're small up front. I mean, how many people have said to you, boy, the Patriots look small when they're on the field?
And that's the other thing. I mean, you have to say they are devoid of talent and speed in certain areas in that front seven. You see John Simon look foolish yesterday. There was one play, I think it was on the first drive. Deebo Samuel was running to the right, and Juwan Bentley eventually caught up to him, but it looked like he was wearing cement shoes. Like, no one's really fast at linebacker there.
No one. No, their front seven smells. It's awful. It is. Their front seven's awful.
So, like, that I get, but just the... If you have the stomach to watch it or just pay attention to the clips, watch the way the Niners finished their runs from the Wilson kid to Deebo Samuel to Ayuk to Juszczyk and, Kittle, which you would expect. But the whole even effing Garoppolo ran you over on his first scramble, first third down run, ran right through Juwan Bentley, right? It's like, so something's wrong with the team because they weren't doing that the first couple of weeks. They were tackling. They were playing defense. They were standing up physically. They were competing. They've lost that in the last couple of weeks. Something's infected the team.
Yeah, I think that when you know you don't have a quarterback, you get affected on multiple levels.
Paul and Revere. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Mike, Bill's going to coach him up, right? Bill's going to scheme around it, right? Oh. You're either disingenuous or you are just whistling across the grave, Rob, like the rest of the Patriots fans. Bill can scheme around it 20 years ago against the Colts and the Rams when there's Ty Law and William McGinnis and Richard Seymour and Rodney Harrison. He can scheme it up against the Steelers when they don't cut a wide Gronkowski for 10 friggin' years, okay?
He kind of schemed it up against the Chiefs a couple weeks ago, Paul. Your phone blows. He kind of schemed it up a couple weeks ago against the Chiefs, didn't he?
He did, but they lost.
They did. But, I mean, don't tell me that the scheme wasn't there.
No, the scheme was there on defense.
The scheme was absolutely there.
I'm just telling you, this isn't a, I mean,
I'm not absolving Bill. I'm not what you're talking about with disingenuousness. I think Bill's good. And I felt he would coach the team up this year. And I think there's still time to do it. It's not happening right now. Like, well, how's that disingenuous? It's obvious what's happening. The whole thing is falling apart. But to say that Bill can coach his way out of problems is not really an outrageous take. Sorry.
No, listen, the guy's still a great coach.
I mean, I think he is.
He is.
He has been to this point.
Of course he is, but there's a limit on everything. And the difference now is that Tom Brady's not there to help him out anymore. So you can still scheme up the defense if you want, but other teams are going to get the ball back in three plays, and here they come again.
Yeah, and I think yesterday the defense gave up. And I'm not absolving Bill of that blame. I mean, somewhere along the way, he lost his players here. I mean, he clearly lost the players.
Yeah, I thought it showed up in the second quarter.
They weren't playing that way a couple weeks ago.
All of a sudden, San Francisco started running through them in the second quarter, and those chunks started getting big.
Connor in the car. Go ahead, Connor.
Hey, so I think the Patriots are missing one thing that's very important that people aren't really talking about enough.
Connor, you got to be kidding me, man. I'm going to give you one more chance. Hold it like a pizza.
Like a slice of pizza.
Or if you have one of those focaccia things that hangs out of your ear, put it right to your mouth.
Like Gasper.
Let's try it again.
They don't have anybody that the players respect, and I think that's why they're falling apart so badly. I mean, they really just don't have any player to revolve around. After two tough losses against the Seahawks and the Chiefs, they don't have anybody to rally around to get them back on the winning track. I think they're just screwed from this point on.
Okay, that came through loud and clear. They don't have a player to rally around.
Well, so no, normally they do. Devin McCourty, Matthew Slater, and this is what makes me start to think maybe these guys haven't been great lately because they're like, why did we decide to opt in? Because this sucks. We just got riddled with this COVID. We're not going to really achieve anything this year. So I don't know. Maybe their leadership role is also diminished too. Like because those guys are used. That's half the reason they were there. The way that they hold themselves in the locker room
because they don't have a quarterback. They don't have a quarterback to rally around. How can you possibly rally around Cam Newton at the moment? You look at him and go, forget it. This guy sucks. He's not going to get it for us. He's throwing horrible passes. He looks like he doesn't have a clue out there. Like, if the quarterback undermines the whole thing, if there's no QB, it doesn't work.
Here's Barbara in Beverly. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Listen, the Andy Dalton take that you had, did you see him yesterday?
He took quite a shot.
He did, and his team did nothing. The bunch of losers. I couldn't believe it. But at any rate, I have to say Brady, because Belichick's an egomaniac. He had his jog do the draft. The draft is an F every year. And you have to, the guy who said last week that the general manager undermines the coach is definitely right.
Okay, well, this is true. His drafts have been spotty, Barbara. And Andy Dalton, to me, still represents Joe average quarterback, and I think Bill can win with Joe average quarterback. I'm not coming off that. Not coming off it yet. What I will come off of is that Brian Hoyer is Joe average. Because if Brian Hoyer is number three behind these two guys, he's Joe Blow, not Joe average. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, that is so fine. Hoyer's not Joe average. They are not getting average quarterback play. Do you understand how wretched their quarterback play is?
Oh, no. Yes, I do. Yeah.
I wouldn't sleep on Brian Hoyer.
Okay, so I'm about to go to sleep on him. With average quarterback play, they are 3-3. They are. They win last week in against Denver or the Kansas City game, one of those two. With just average quarterback play versus epically pathetic quarterback play? Where'd you say they rank as a team quarterback rating in the league?
Tied for last.
Okay, so like that's the worst quarterback. So
with the Jets,
give me Joe average quarterback play, and they're 500 or maybe better. Okay, maybe 4-2. Who knows?
Three touchdowns, 11 picks.
Jesus, that's what they are?
Three touchdowns, 11 picks.
Okay, so they're
11.
So I never said they can win with any quarterback. I said they can win with an average quarterback. They are not getting average quarterback play.
No, no, they're producing so many turnovers, it's like a freaking bakery down there.
Brian and Wellesley. Hi, Brian.
Hi. Yeah, a couple things. I just want to say, if the Patriots don't win against Buffalo next week, it's the division is over. I mean, if they go to, 6-2 and the Patriots fall to 2-5?
It's probably over.
Like,
yep.
It's over.
Yep.
And then also, it's possible that this team could lose to the Jets. I mean, think about it. That's them. This team losing to the worst team in football is on the table. Think about the last time you had to admit that.
Okay, I am not sure if it's on the table, but let's see what these next 2 weeks look like. Then I'll call it. Okay, let's see what these next, and it may be this week. Maybe that's it. Maybe that might be all she wrote.
I think the Bills are a good matchup for him this week, actually, because Buffalo can't stop the run.
Connor and Clinton, if I go to you one more time and you're not there, you are banned for life. Okay, we're good. We got your number. We have your name. You will be banned for life. You will never appear on this program again if you're not here when I go to you. Connor and Clinton, you're up next with Felger and Mass. Hi.
Sorry, guys. So just to follow up with that last caller, quick question, Felger. If we do get blown out by the Bills and then lose to the Jets, would you then, with the Jets having one win, ever consider tanking?
At that point, you are tanking. Your comment line still said Antonio Brown. So I still want to ban you. If you lose to the Bills and the Jets, then you're tanking without even trying. Like, you just suck that bad. You're not even, like, that's different than tanking. You just really are wretched.
Oh, no, you're in the hunt. No, you're in the hunt for the number one pick if you lose to the Jets. I still don't know that two wins is going to get it done. If they were to lose out here, I'm not sure they'd get the number one pick.
I don't want to even entertain that. Back with more right after this.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
Big win against the Eagles.
Everybody did a good job.
Now back to Felger and Mazz. Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Newton in the pocket. Looks down the middle. Nobody open. Now he throws it on the go.
God.
Pass is picked off by Warner. On the far side of the field. Tackled at the 40-yard line by Myers.
Absolutely putrid. I don't know where he's throwing it. He panicked in the pocket. Slides up and it's like someone scared like a ghost from around the corner. The ball came out. I'm going to say it. This is a big drive right here for Cam Newton. Based on how he has played, the last 2.5 games he has played in, your team could potentially be staring at 2-4. It's a big drive for him, or I might go to Stidham.
From the 38, shotgun snap to Newton. Four-man rush. Throw out to the left, incomplete.
I'm ready.
Skipped it in the direction of Demir Brennan on the far side.
Get Stidham ready. Get him throwing. You got to do something, Bill. He ain't got it. He ain't got it today. He's not seeing it right. He's throwing balls in the ground. He's got time to throw. You got to make the switch.
White to the left of Newton. Works in the gun. Takes the shotgun snap. Pocket holding. Launches a deep ball down the middle for Myers, and it's going to be picked off. Running under it is Emmanuel Mosley.
See
back to the 5-yard line. Turns to the 10. Accelerates past the 25-30 along the near side.
Tackle.
40, 45, 50, and eventually tackled from behind by Keane.
Hey, Cam, you throw a pick, you're going to cover it, or are you going to stand in the middle of the field and watch it? 12-minute halftime, right? You need more 12 minutes to take this team to the woodshed at halftime. You and I have called a lot of games. I don't remember this bad a half of football in our time together.
Cam drops back. Looks down the middle. He throws it off Edelman's hand. Careens in the air. Picked
awesome.
Off. Running it back across the 30-yard line. Jamar Taylor with
Sit
the interception.
Down. Edelman was wide open 2 seconds prior. He was wide open, and he waited. And I don't know what he's looking at.
In San Francisco.
Make the move.
Zolak yesterday on the Patriots Radio Network. All over Cam Newton, calling for Jared Stidham to come into that game early. You think they waited too long to go to Stidham, Mass?
I do, yep. I thought that when they got to halftime, I said that's a pull the plug, put Stidham in there, and Bill didn't do it. And my guess is that it was one of, you know, two reasons, one more than the other, which is Stidham's not any better, and Bill knows it. Like, to me, that's probably what it was, but I thought he waited too. Newton clearly didn't have it.
And when the kid can't get on the field to start the second half, as bad as Cam Newton was, it tells you all that you need to know about how Bill feels about him.
Seriously, though.
They think he's hopeless.
Yeah, I think
hopeless.
Right.
Not even getting better, right? Like,
and I want to know what happened there. Because, again, for like a year, starting with training camp last year in the before times, this is the next guy. We've never seen a young quarterback look this good in camp. Not even Jimmy Garoppolo. This is the heir apparent. And now he can't even start the second half of a blowout where Cam Newton was as bad as he was in that first half. What happened?
I mean, if Brian Hoyer didn't play like he was drunk in Kansas City, Stidham would still be third on the depth chart.
Who should start this week?
Hoyer.
The drunk guy?
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, if you were to say to me, what's their best option this week? I'd say probably Hoyer. I mean, I think Hoyer's got the best command of the offense. I think they can run what they want to run, you know, most efficiently, which doesn't mean efficiently, but most efficiently with Hoyer. And it's their best shot, which is really a sad statement.
Scary.
I wouldn't sleep on Brian Hoyer.
Attaboy.
Yep, I talked myself into Joe Murray's take in postgame last night. It's Brian Hoyer until you get to the red zone. Then it's Cam Newton.
I kind of like that.
Well, you know, Cam Newton as the Taysom Hill guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. Do something like that. I mean, at this stage, I think that's what you're looking
at. You got to shake
it
up.
Yes, sir.
As crazy as it is, because when these ideas came up at the beginning of the year, yeah, they're going to rotate quarterbacks. I was like, would you stop with that crap? Like, no shot. So to me, it's got to be one of two things. If you want to run your offense, Hoyer's the best option. If you want to run Cam Newton's offense, then you play Cam Newton. So if you want to start going back to read option and stuff like that and make it, you know, Newton's offense, then put Newton in there. If not, go with Hoyer. I like the idea of Newton in the red zone, though. That's pretty good.
Rick on Cape Cod, bring us back. What do you got?
Yeah. I was just calling to see if you guys had looked into the money that we're spending here. I think we're paying less than $5 million for all our quarterbacks.
Second lowest quarterback budget in the league, Rick.
Less than $3 million.
Less than $3
million. Well, I take it back. It's exactly $3
million. So what do you expect to get if we're paying $3 million in this league as a quarterback?
Bingo.
Dog crap.
Part of Bill's arrogance. And maybe this is Maz's point before. It's like Brady's shoving it to you right now, but maybe you thought you would shove it to him by winning at a high level without paying anything at the quarterback position.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, and again...
That's how you prove the point.
That is how you prove the point. I mean, it's the best way to prove the point, right? See that, Tom? You wanted your $50 million. We wouldn't give it to you. We spent three, and we're doing just fine. And this is what Adam Schefter was championing at the beginning of the season or during the offseason about how little the Patriots had committed to quarterback and how smart they were compared to every other team, ignoring the fact that their quarterbacks all suck. So I got an email from a guy last week that didn't like that I use the word suck all the time. But in this particular case, it applies. Their quarterbacks suck. They suck. They're awful. They're the worst quarterback group in the league. The worst.
You can't get suck shamed at this point. You've been doing that thing for over 10 years here.
I know, but I took it personally.
I'd
probably use it a little too much, but in this case, it applies.
I don't agree. I think something sucks on a daily basis, and you're there to call it out, man.
Their quarterbacks right now, they S-U-C-K, suck. Their quarterbacks suck.
They suck and blow, Maz. Scott in Nantucket. Hi, Scott. How are you?
Good afternoon, fellas. I'm sure this phone call is going to suck, but I'm going to give you at least a semi-warm hot take. All the Pats fans, all right, I was born in Pittsburgh, so I'm a Steeler fan, but I follow the Pats very close. And all the fans need to calm down a little bit because what has happened with the evolution of the quarterback, as you guys know, all these dynasty teams in the past, when they lost their Super Bowl winning quarterback, they struggle. What?
The Niners did?
No, except for two, which were the Niners when Steve Young took over and the Packers when Rodgers took over. That's about it.
Okay, well, but so why can't you be those teams? And the Packers were hardly a dynasty, but I hear you. So why can't you, emulate those teams? Why can't you be that? And if it wasn't going to be Garoppolo, if the organization was going to step in, the owner was going to step in, and Garoppolo wasn't going to happen, why didn't you immediately reload and restart that clock with someone as opposed to doing nothing for 2 years? Garoppolo was traded 3 years ago this week, basically, right?
Ish, yep. Right around this time, yeah.
At the trade deadline in 2017. So you've had 3 years to find the next guy and start grooming him. Where is he? So, I'm sorry. Only two teams have done it. That's who you should be. That's who you should be emulating. And you're supposed to be the greatest ever, the smartest ever, the best run ever. So why is it unrealistic to ask you to be that?
Why do you so readily dismiss the seventh-round pick who was Eddie Etling? Why do you so readily dismiss Eddie?
Danny.
Okay, Danny Etling.
So that's the issue. That's the issue. You want to go back to Garoppolo and say they had the guy? At least they had a guy. At least they had a guy, whether you love him or not. They had a guy. They had a plan. It was all mapped out.
Now they have no guy.
Then the owner stepped in. So blame him for that. Okay? But how about the 3 years since? Blame Bill for the 3 years since.
No question. I mean, that's the part of it that I find most frustrating, that they both did it. Kraft, on the one hand, looked at it and said, no, we're going to keep Brady, who then, by the way, turned his back on the owner anyway. Okay, so Kraft said, no, let Garoppolo go. And then Bill said, fine, I'm not going to sign Brady, and we're not going to draft anybody. We'll just take the guy that's left on the discount rack. I mean, it's a joke. It's a joke what they've done at that position.
Rocco's in East Somerville. Hi, Rocco.
So this is what I had to hear from you all year. Why doesn't Brady work with the young receivers, Tony? I don't know, Mike. Why take that system over the quarterback any day? Okay, Mike. This is all I had to hear from you, Mike, for a whole year. And yesterday, when Brady was Brady-esque and Bill Belichick got his tushy spank, not just regular spank, but prison-style spank, was the greatest thing I saw. Because this is an overrated coach. We've been talking about this for years, Mike. I told you this. This guy's overrated. You put the chips on the coach, not the player. That's what you did. You got to always take the quarterback call from player.
Well, we'll see, Rocco. Advantage you right now. Advantage Brady right now, for sure. And that's probably the way it's going to go. That's the way it looks, for sure. It ain't over yet. It's not over yet. Let's see. If Bill wins the division with this collection of crap, doesn't that...
I mean, it'll be his greatest coaching accomplishment ever.
Okay, so that sort of then does prove the point.
Or the Bills went belly up.
Well, that's the same point.
Well, okay. But
I mean, that's always been my point. Believe me.
Yeah, what if they win it going 7-9?
Fine. My Hoyer take was win the division. And it wasn't 11-5, and it wasn't 12-4. It wasn't championships.
10-6, I think.
Yeah, I was, again, side of the mouth, 10-6. Part of it is an AFC East. If this were the NFC West, I wouldn't be saying those things. I have no faith in the rest of the division. I still don't. So let's see how that all shakes out.
Tell you what, if you give me another week and ask me next Monday, and I might be picking Miami to win the division.
No, I know. We're getting close. We're getting close to... take capitulation,
take judgment day.
We may be getting close to a capitulation on the takes, but we're not quite there yet. This is a reentry Monday, so everything's on the board. Reentry Monday is presented by our friends at East Boston Savings Bank, Ness.
Yep, maybe you're looking to finance a home mortgage or maybe a commercial real estate property, or maybe you're just looking for a free checking account. Visit EBSB.com. That's East Boston Savings Bank, getting it done since 1848. Here's Murray with the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
They've got your drive home covered.
That's just one question for the people.
Felger and Mass.
There's so many questions for the people. My facilitation cup runneth over.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the Rays are going to ask for the biggest hit in the life of Brett Phillips. Jansen. That is into center field. Here comes Kiermaier. Phillips has tied the game. A Rose Arena coming around. Stumbles, but the ball gets away. Tampa Bay wins it. Brett Phillips, game four
hero. There's your Dan Johnson moment. Oh, my. They're trying to catch him in the outfield, and they can't.
That has got to be one of the most unlikely endings to a World Series game in the history of baseball. The Rays have won it 8-7 on a base hit by Phillips and a comedy of errors by the Los Angeles Dodgers. And this World Series is tied at 2 games apiece.
It's a reentry Monday. I just want to give you 30 seconds on this. That wasn't last night's World Series game. Last night's World Series game, the Dodgers bullpen came in and shut the door, and we're not interested in that. We're interested in them completely imploding and crapping their pants with 2 outs, 2 strikes, up a run in the 9th inning on Saturday night. The center fielder kicks the ball into left field. Then the catcher whiffs on a swipe tag that he didn't even need to make because the runner coming from third had stumbled. Ooh, that was delicious.
Unbelievable. It was so great. I'll tell you what, Sean Casey, the MLB Network, did a great breakdown of it to point out all the mistakes the Dodgers made on the play. And it started with Taylor in the outfield, who booted the ball, then grabbed it and threw it in. And Muncy was the first baseman on the cutoff. And again, Casey did a great job of this. When Muncy pulled the ball out of his glove because he was rushing, he had it palmed like a changeup. So when he threw it, the catcher, Smith, starts to go to his left, but the ball came slower than he thought, so it goes off the end of his glove. And then a Rosarena ends up, you know, changing direction and diving home. It was awesome. It was awesome to see the Dodgers F that up. Oh, my God, was that awesome.
Are you still rooting for the Dodgers, though?
They changed them on the
Rays. How can you watch this and not be rooting for the Rays? The steal of home last night?
I know, the attempt,
anyway?
Yeah, so I'll tell you why. Because I just had resigned myself to the fact that they weren't going to win it. I did, and I do hate the way they play, but I can't root for the Dodgers. I'm back on the Rays. At the end of the day, I want them both to lose, and that's just not going to work. So I have to come up with a different plan, and I'm back on the Rays. And that attempted steal of home last night with Margot, Clayton Kershaw's on the mound, left-handed pitcher. Obviously, his back's at third base. Margot goes. The Dodgers executed it well. It was a little Kershaw's throw to the plate was a little high and wide, but he got rid of the ball really fast. And he got rid of the ball really fast because the first baseman yelled out, throw home, he's going. If there's fans in the stands, nobody hears it, I don't think.
Yeah.
Kershaw doesn't know what's going on. So I kind of put that on the Rays a little. Like, that's not the kind of play you can try in that setting with no fans in the stands.
You got to appreciate the balls,
though. Yes, yeah, they're desperate, right? They're hitting under 200 with runners in scoring position in the series. It's like 19 for 99 or 100 or something like that. I mean, it's ridiculous how poorly they've hit with runners in scoring position, so they're trying to scrape out a run.
That last night annoyed me, though, because, you know, with the way that the Rays won Saturday night, you figure with Kershaw on the mound, crap his pants, but Kershaw's good, and then Roberts pulls him prematurely. Like, that's a game like the Dodgers would lose in the past, and they win it, and now I feel like they're going to win the whole damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Annoying. All right, so anyway, there's your little baseball minute. Let's do the email of the day while I have you right here.
Yeah.
If we could there, Stu.
Dear Felger, I really hate you.
By the way, Mookie's hitting 227 in the series.
Oh, good. Nazi, I'm going to get that in.
It's the Moncast email of the day.
Dear Felger, I really hate you.
Why?
And I think Maz is a boob.
Stupid.
Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
Email of the day is protected by Mimecast, the number one cloud email security and resilience companion for Microsoft 365. Safeguard your organization against phishing and risks of ransomware. Visit Mimecast.com. That's Mime, M-I-M-E, Mimecast.com. Relentless protection, resilient world. Patricia writes in, worst part of the game was watching Chase Winovich yesterday argue with Belichick after a roughing penalty. Bill has lost control of the team. Chase should have been banished to the locker room. Signed, Patricia.
He basically was.
Yeah. So we haven't hit on this yet. He only played 13 snaps, but he did play after that sparingly. Your thoughts on that whole situation?
So look, I said this last week, and you guys know because I said it off the air. I'm done with Chase Winovich, and I mean that the whole Chase Winovich thing. As a player, he's got potential, but everything I turn on, Chase Winovich this, Chase Winovich that, Chase Winovich. I'm so sick of him. I bet your Bill is too. boy, he's getting a lot of attention for a guy that really hasn't done all that much in his career yet.
But he was making an impact early this season. It felt like, oh, okay, they finally hit recently on a draft pick. Chase Winovich can get to the passer. Chase Winovich looks pretty good. And then the snap count's gone down these last couple of weeks. And I'm with Maz. I said it in the postgame last night. It's nothing that's informed. It's just a gut feeling. His weekly spot with Zoe and Beadle, if you've heard that interview, it's great. He's pretty open. He'll talk about whatever. Unlike every other Patriot interview over the last 20 years, I think it's too much media for a young player, and it's rubbing Bill the wrong way.
I think it's the whole package.
Yeah.
I think it's the whole package, and that interview's a part of it. He doesn't spill on Patriot stuff.
No, but really. It's still a little too, I'm going to talk about
it's
aliens.
Too entertaining.
Yeah.
He's like Wiggy. He's got an opinion on everything.
Yep.
It's great. It is. It's a great spot. You should listen. And I was surprised that he was back on this week with the guys. I thought if that, and I believe that narrative, that, you know, I'm hearing a little bit too much from you, young man. Okay, so have a seat here on the bench. Which then I thought he would have skipped last week. But he was back on, talking about conspiracies and whatever. And it's like, oh, so I was surprised about that. But then this clown, yesterday, pushes Garoppolo. This was on his interception return.
Yeah.
Okay. Garoppolo dove, by the way.
He did, totally flat.
That was embarrassing. He literally did the Superman thing where he put both hands out. And so that was weak by Garoppolo. But be that as it may.
He got the call.
Be that as it may. When Bill Belichick talks to you on the sidelines, keep your mouth shut.
Exactly. Especially if you're a second year guy.
Second year, I mean, nobody for all intents and purposes. Like, just take it and go sit down. Instead, he talked back.
Yeah.
What are you saying, you idiot?
I was stunned at that.
What could you possibly be saying there?
You try to plead your case to this guy?
Dude, I barely touched him.
Oh, yeah. Shut up. Shut up and go back to the bench. Okay, so, like, look, I feel some of your stuff with Winovich.
I think an alien took over my body.
This is all a long way of saying I feel you. However, are they in any position right now to be putting talent on the bench because, what, Bill doesn't like the flamboyance or whatever?
No, but again, since when does Bill care about talent? Like, I don't mean to be a wise ass about it, but he just wants you to buy in and shut up.
They should play the kid.
Of course they should.
So like, he could have helped, yeah.
Exactly.
Kind of like how Malcolm Butler could have helped in Super Bowl 52. But, yeah, he got his ass benched for spite.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I don't know, maybe Bill looks at him purely as a pass rush player.
He obviously does.
And the Niners were running him over last night, so he said, you know what, this kid's useless anyway.
But you're sort of lacking in speed. He couldn't have helped you on the edge there on some of those plays.
Could have been worse than John Simon.
Could not have been worse than what we were watching yesterday for most of the game, which is mostly the Patriots' tackle attempts and tacklers and defenders getting trucked every time they try to tackle a ball carrier or not even catching him. So, like, that's sort of frustrating. Like, on one hand, I get it. The kid's a little big for his britches. He's got a pretty high opinion of himself. He's certainly out there, and he's done nothing yet. Like, I get it. All things being equal, in normal times, sure, knock him down a peg, teach him how to be a Patriot. Fine. You're 2-4, and you can't stop a nosebleed. So, like, maybe do that some other time and play the kid and see what you got.
Makes perfect sense. Look, you got somewhere along the line, you got to, you know, adjust your standards for what your roster looks like and give a little bit of latitude. But that Thursday interview, that's a weekly thing, huh?
It is, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's sponsored, isn't it?
I do believe it is sponsored.
I bet you the Patriots had no control over it, which further pissed him off. And maybe he did it on his own.
I have no idea, Maz. This is questions you're asking out loud that I don't have an answer to. Maybe you do, and you're hiding it. Is that the Apple Watch
you
there
do have
talking
the Apple Watch
and
on.
Like this smirk? So it's like one of these things where it's like, where does he come up with that?
Right.
Am I supposed to answer that? I have no idea. You probably do, so just say it.
No, it just feels like it was done through the night.
Exactly.
Now there are times I told you where I will be coy. There are other times I'll tell you point blank that I don't know anything.
So that's it. He did it on his own. He's still doing it on
his
own.
It's just a theory.
So, but that to me is just the tip of the iceberg. Like, or it's just part of a bigger picture where, boy, he sure is out there right there. And, oh, yeah, Mr. Fabio there, fancy pants hair, sure has a high opinion of his himself. Didn't last year, don't the rookies – all have to get their hair shaved and whatnot, and he refused? Yes.
Oh,
the answer is yes. Yeah. I'll answer my own question. I think the answer is yes.
Hey, New England, it's your boy, Chase Winovich.
That dude loves his hair. If you're a little too in love with your hair, there's something not right with you. I'll just say that. Yeah, you can like it.
I agree.
And you can want it. But if it's like, you know, if you're so in love with your hair, dude, go play soccer.
Yeah, but Felger, he's like Samson. If he cuts it, he loses his power.
Which is what all the hair dudes generally go play. But I can say the same thing about Cam Newton. I'm pretty impressed with his hair, too. Enough with the hair. Well, the stupid hair and dressing doesn't bother Bill when it comes to Cam Newton. Why does it bother him with Chase Winovich?
Because Winovich is a rookie, basically.
Maybe that's it.
That's what it is. Second-year guy with the golden locks. He even says that in one of the spots he does.
Oh, get over yourself.
Hey, New England, it's your boy, Chase Winovich, and the guy with the golden locks.
So I've got time for one call. I have a full board. Watch me pick the wrong guy again.
Oh, yeah, it's a given.
Okay, fine. It's
Can't wait.
Call screen roulette. Kevin in the car, Brady's departure, Patriots quarterback. Ethan on the Cape, Patriots expectations. Brian in Swampscott, Patriots / Newton. Bo in Needham, Patriots / schedule. Wayne in Grafton, Patriots Newton, but you know it's some sort of dirty joke, Wayne. You're going to have to call us tomorrow on that.
I like Kevin in the car, Brady's departure.
Kevin, you have the final word today. Go ahead.
Thanks, guys. Listen, you're going to sit there, Felger, and say it's ignorance that Belichick let Brady go, just like it's ignorance when he picks in the draft, the reverse draft pick. Remember, it's a horrible decision by him. Horrible decision by Kraft. Yeah, Breeze was running home with that dope down there.
How'd I pick the guy with the wrong phone?
Something about Drew Breeze.
Like, huh? That's my fault. I picked it.
Speak into the mic,
Kevin. Kevin, you're done in my book. You understand?
Brian and Swampscott, you have 10 seconds. Go.
Hey, what's up, guys? I wanted to talk about Newton. I'll just say I'm sad you're back in studio. I don't have a chance to see backyard wood anymore.
Okay, so again, that was a waste of my time. Ethan on Cape Cod, last chance.
Meant Sarah in the bikini.
Yeah.
All right, guys, listen. I don't care if Belichick catches Shula. I'm not looking to tank, and I was ready to move on from Brady. But, Mike, your expectations for this season are too high. They had the toughest schedule in football. They lost 8 players to the opt-out, which was more than anybody else in the NFL. They lost a bunch of players.
So what are you saying? Talk to you in January? We have a show to do.
I'm saying Hoyer and Newton, we know what they are. Sidham should be the quarterback moving forward. We should get rid of Gilmore and Tooney, and we should be looking towards next season.
Okay, I think you can do both. I think you can still try and win games and look forward to next season. If someone wants to overpay you for Gilmore or Tooney, fine. I think you're willing to sell those guys even before you started the year. Like, I don't consider that a total sell-off. But if you don't do well for those guys, then you might as well keep them. Unless you're just so horny to save yourself money. It's just such a money thing there this year that you have to get rid of the salaries because you don't want to pay them. Otherwise, keep them and see if you can win the division. And I'm not looking 8 weeks ahead or 7 weeks ahead or 3 weeks. Let's see what they look like against the Bills. Let's see if the Bills revert to the Bills. And you pull one out of your ass, and then you're right back in it. So let's just worry about that, and then we'll worry about the rest of the schedule.
I bet you Gilmore's gone. I don't like the whole vibe around Gilmore right now.
And there does seem to be a vibe there. You're right about that.
Yeah, I thought he kind of quit yesterday.
Did he tweet something over the weekend that was telling?
There was something he tweeted.
Were tweets late last week.
Some about people letting you down, people showing their true colors.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
Right. I mean, so if we're going to be playing that game, you know, hell out of here.
Yeah, I don't like his vibe. And I told you, they have depth in the secondary. I personally think he's overrated. I mean, I know he's defensive player of the year. I don't think he's elite. To me, I'd trade his ass this week.
Okay, final word comes your way next.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Nas, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? There's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
All right, obviously a lot of Pats talk today, but with that ugly loss to the Niners yesterday, it feels like they don't have a quarterback, they don't have a plan for the future. It makes Maz mad.
The quarterback thing that you mentioned, Maz, you're going to be that cavalier with that position?
Well, so that's ultimately was my biggest takeaway yesterday. And again, I'm not making this about Garoppolo. Let's even move beyond that. Because again, we all know we've been battling that one for years. Everybody knows how I feel about that particular decision. I thought it was stupid to end up in the spot they're in. is inexcusable. So you want to play it the way you played it? Fine. Trade the guy. Keep Brady. Fine. No problem. Brady walks, your answer in a market filled with quarterbacks is to wait until the whole thing settles and then go out and get Cam Newton off the clearance table?
Or just get the last guy standing.
Exactly. Whoever that was.
Get the cheapest guy.
It shouldn't have come to that anyway. They had the guy, and the guy's now in Tampa. And all the Bill and the Patriots had to do was give him a real contract, and Bill had to lighten up. It wasn't that big of an ask.
That's true, too. Yep, it's all true. So, again, all of that, this is my point. Take whatever road you want to take. Whether you want to take the road to Brady, whether you want to take the road to Garoppolo, whether you want to take the road to, I don't know, Nick Foles. Okay? Whoever. Like, you could have devised a plan to go out and get yourself a quarterback that would fit your system. Instead, what you did was stand there
and wait for the cheapest guy available.
I mean, that is pathetic. That's pathetic. And that is so arrogant. And that is not just Bill. That's also ownership. That's Bill on up. With the most important position in sports, you sat there and said, I will just take what's left over and we'll be fine. I mean, you're getting what you deserve if that's what your attitude is.
Back with.
I chose the road to nowhere, Mass, is what they did.
Seriously, as I said, it's like waiting for the bus and you don't care where it's going. I'll just get on.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.